So as we discussed before the break, we have reached the vaccination stage of the pandemic finally, but for a lot of workers who have to be on the job site every day, their shot in the arm won't come for weeks, possibly months, while the virus could be just around the corner. And that is certainly true for construction workers. With that in mind, last month, a group of trade union leaders, construction executives, international health experts from Boston teamed up to form the Construction Stops COVID initiative. Their goal is using targeted testing, tracing, and treatment to help keep tens of thousands of hard hats safe across the city. Frank Callahan is president of the Massachusetts Building Trades Council and has been part of the effort. He joins us now to talk about it. Welcome to Radio Boston, Frank.
Thank you for having me today, Tiziana.
So, Frank, put us in the day in the life of a construction worker on a Boston job site right now. What are the risks for that worker throughout the day when it comes to this pandemic?
Well, the risks are largely the same as we see in the larger population. But obviously, in the construction industry, you're working in close proximity in some cases. You might be working in a trench. You might be working in an enclosed space. And that's very difficult. You know, you're lifting heavy objects, working on tools and equipment that require more than one individual. So it is difficult. We do make sure that our members in the union side sector have the proper PPE, whether it's masks, gloves, face shields, and hand washing stations and the like, to make sure that they're as safe as possible out there. But it is still a risky place to be.
And you just talked about those provisions for safety, Frank. Are there particular challenges for the industry, for construction companies, in providing the safety equipment, in meeting the standards that the Commonwealth has set for that industry?
Well, we didn't face that in the union side sector. We're fortunate. You know, we represent 75,000 men and women who work in the construction industry all across the state. And we have longstanding relationships with our contractor community, with over 3,000 union contractors. And that's a partnership, whether it's through training, healthcare, pensions, wages, of course, and putting up all the buildings and infrastructure that you see every day. So we were able to work in a cooperative manner with them, as we do on a regular basis prior to the pandemic. So I'm proud of the fact that our union leadership, our contractor associations, and the contractors themselves were able to step up and do what was necessary from the very early stages of this to make sure that our members were protected out there.
So help us understand, Frank, where are the pain points for your union members, for the industry, in trying to function? I understand, I think it was May 18th, at the beginning of the phase one reopening, that at least parts of the construction industry were able to reopen. So where have those pain points been? What do people need to understand?
Well, if you can go back even before that, Governor Baker issued his order in March on shutdowns and safety protocols when we had far less knowledge of what was going on out there. And the weak spots we saw in that was it was left the construction industry largely open with a hodgepodge of protocols where the enforcement was largely left to the cities and towns, and many of whom did not have the resources to enforce that. And what we saw was that a lot of contractors, not on our side, on the union sector, but a lot of them were not enforcing those protocols, just what has become the defining aspect of this pandemic, the mask. There were many construction sites you could drive by and not see a single individual wearing even a mask. So where that comes into play for our members, and certainly for those workers who are not represented by a union, but our members sometimes work on job sites where there's a mix of union and non-union workers. So whether it was pandemic or other safety protocols, that left our members at risk, and certainly those non-represented workers at risk. So we were happy to see, which sounds strange coming from a person in my position, when Boston Mayor Marty Walsh shut down non-essential construction in the city of Boston. I mean, that's anathema to everything I've done in my career in this. We're always seeking more work opportunities for our members, but we take safety first. Safety is first and foremost in our minds every single day, prior to, during, and after this pandemic. And we thought he did the right thing. In fact, shortly after he did that, a number of cities and towns followed suit. And we took this unusual step, the only one in the country, where the building trades in Massachusetts took a unanimous vote to shut down the construction industry for 2 weeks. We called on the governor to do that because there's a lot of legal requirements, and we wanted to make sure there was full compliance. And, of course, that didn't happen because, again, we wanted to have to flatten the curve like everyone else, and we wanted to make sure that our contractors and our members had the opportunity to come up to speed, whether it's, you know, PPE, hand washing stations, sufficient, you know, porta potties, and so forth.
So have you had a back and forth with the Commonwealth? Have you, has your union been in conversation with the governor or the governor's office or the planning? What has that been like?
No, we have not. We have not had any communication from the governor's office, which led us to the conclusion that we had to take matters into our own hands, which was the result, as you talked about earlier, the Construction Stops COVID campaign, the program that was put together largely with the work of the Greater Boston Building Trades Unions, led by Brian Daugherty, our contractor associations with some of the large names you see, whether it's Suffolk, Turner, Moriarty and Associates, and of course, partners in health and Harbor Health Services. We realized if we didn't take charge of this ourselves, it wasn't going to happen.
And so what will be different? I know that the initiative began on December 22nd, so I guess I should say, what is different now with this initiative in place?
Well, at its very basis, it's tracking, testing, and tracing, and then followed by treatment. Because one of the things that was left out by the governor's recommendations was tracking in the workplace. There is nowhere in any of the initiatives put forward by the Baker-Polito administration that require the listing of a workplace. So if there is an outbreak at a workplace, whether it's a construction site or like the couple of Walmarts we saw early on, they'll take sometimes weeks to find out that there's an outbreak at those workplaces. That doesn't do any good for the workers that are on those job sites or the general public that's shopping in those stores. So we felt that was the most important piece. We see it and we hear it, and a lot of it's anecdotal because we do not have the data to show that there may be an outbreak on a job site.
So are you collaborating with the state's contact tracing organization or Partners in Health on the contact tracing that you're doing here?
With Partners in Health, and of course that would be transmitted to the state after the fact, but we're doing that on our own to make sure that, you know, if there is an outbreak, that we can track that and trace that to a job site and make sure that those members have the information they need to protect themselves and their families.
And Frank, if somebody in the construction trades wanted to know more about this initiative or how they can benefit from it, where can they go to learn more?
It's constructionstopscovid.org.
All right. And I'm sure we can put a link to that to our website as well. That's Frank Callahan, president of Massachusetts Building Trades Council. Thanks so much for your time.
Thank you for having me.